I'm also a very strict parent. I'm not there to be your friend. I'm there to create some sort of infrastructure and keep them in line, especially my boys. I'm hard on them. My daughter, not so much because she's pretty smart and she doesn't need it, but the boys need it. And, you know, I'm out here trying to raise men. I don't want any soft boys.
Hey, friends, and welcome back to the Paula Faris Show. I'm your host, Paula Faris. My fabulous co-host, John, will be rejoining next week as we continue to talk about the hot topics that you're having in your home, those conversations. We're going to be talking about how to take care of your kids and your aging parents, that sandwich generation, a fabulous conversation about youth sports and how far is too far. Also, tween and teen boys. Jesus, take the wheel. How do we connect with them and how do we understand them? But today you're in for a treat. You know, sometimes we have a great topic. Sometimes we have a fabulous guest. Today we have both of those. We are talking to Mario Lopez of AC Slater and Saved by the Bell fame. He's now a host at Access Hollywood. If you want to go to the Wayback Machine, Kids Incorporated, that's where I remember him from as well. I love that theme song. And I think if you know what I'm talking about, you're going to have that theme song in your head the rest of the day. But Mario has a fabulous story. He talks about being a really strict parent, something that is going to surprise a lot of us, and also how he prioritizes his marriage of over 10 years. He's got three kids, and how turning 50 this past year just totally wrecked him. And he and I also have a connection with the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. I'm a trustee and ardent supporter of the organization, and Mario is a club kid. He's going to talk about how it really shaped his childhood and helped him grow into the person that he is today. These are conversations that I want you to share with your partner, with your loved ones, because these are the hot topics that you're having in your home. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to our new friend, Mario Lopez, on why he's a strict parent, how he keeps the passion in his marriage, and how 50 just turned his world upside down. So Mario Lopez, or should I say AC Slater, looks like you just got off set.
I did. I'm shooting Access Hollywood right now, and it was my third show today. I had On with Mario, my nationally syndicated radio show. Then I had Access Daily. Then I'm shooting Access Hollywood. And then I'm going to go do my podcast, Three Knockdown Rule, which is a fight podcast after this. So we're trying to squeeze it all in.
Oh my gosh. I hope you give me just like a little teeny bit of energy and we'll be good. I promise this is going to be so much fun, Mario. Okay. I promise.
I'm here. I'm good.
Do people still call you Slater or do they call you Mario?
More people, I think, know me as Mario now only because I'm always on TV hosting as Mario. And I've been doing hosting gigs in my job for, 15 years now in a row. So every night I'm like, hi, I'm Mario Lopez. So I just think you hear that every night at 7 p.m. on NBC and on the weekend on the radio. Hey, you're on with Mario Lopez. And people get into it. Now there's a certain generation. And
Gen X. Gen X, that's me right there. Yeah.
Well, even younger, too, that will know me. But then they'll still call me Mario for the most part. I think, again, because of the hosting and I'm always identifying myself.
Well, Mario Lopez, AC Slater hasn't done too bad for himself. You've been married over 10 years. You got three kids. Can you believe it? I mean, you got a beautiful daughter, two beautiful sons, and a gorgeous wife who you've been married to since, I think, 2012. So you've done well, Mario.
I feel very blessed. Awesome wife. Great kids. Everything professionally and personally, you know, couldn't be better right now. So I'm very grateful.
You're a blessed man. Is there anything that people would be surprised about your parenting? So your kids, you have a daughter, I think, who's just becoming a teenager. You got two boys. I don't know their exact ages. I think one might be the tweenish age. And then you got a real young one who's wrestling, by the way. I saw that. Is there anything that people would be surprised about your parenting style or parenting in general?
Well, I'm a very present father. I'm there for my kids' practices, their tournaments, their recitals, their competitions. There's a lot of them. They got pretty busy schedules. So I always, as busy as I am, I always make it a priority to put family first.
That's great.
I also notice some stuff if it conflicts with it because you can't get that time back. I'm also a very strict parent. I'm not there to be your friend. I'm there to create some sort of infrastructure and keep them in line. Especially my boys, I'm hard on them. My daughter, not so much because she's pretty smart and she doesn't need it, but the boys need it. And, you know, I'm out here trying to raise men. I don't want any soft boys.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty like standard. That's how my husband is with our daughter. And then he's real tough on the boys. So I get that. I've seen your daughter's a cheerleader. At least your youngest. I think both of your boys are wrestlers. So you're a sports dad. Like, what kind of dad are you? on the sidelines, I can get a little crazy because my husband also coaches high school basketball. And then my kids are super involved in volleyball, basketball, flag football, golf, you name it. What kind of parent are you on the sideline watching your kids?
I'm harder in practices than I am when it comes to tournament and competition time. I kind of lay back and I don't try to yell too much, just if there's certain things, but I kind of let them, let the coaches take over. And I don't want to draw too much attention because they're already getting a lot of attention because they're my boys.
Yeah,
so I don't want to draw too much attention. So I try to kind of lay low.
Yeah. But your daughter, she's 13. I have a 16-year-old daughter, Mario. It is the teen years are something.
I already feel it right now.
Oh, tell me a little bit about what you're going through right now as a dad of a teen daughter.
Well, you see, there's a lot of locking of the doors and a lot of texting and the affection isn't what it used to be with her with me. I don't get so much attitude as my wife does, but she's still kind of daddy's girl. She's great with me, but she does get a little moodier, but 13 is a tough age and walking with her braces and, you know, the whole thing. So she's going through a lot. She's figuring herself out, but she's beautiful and very talented and smart. So I think she's going to be just fine.
That's awesome. That's very typical for girls. I just learned from a therapist for them to kind of butt heads with their mother because they've always been the safe space. So they take it out on their moms. So we just went through something, Mario, in our household. Our daughter is 16, just kind of started, like just found a guy that she wanted to date. And my husband lost his mind. I have never seen him, a less healthy version of my husband than when his little girl started dating. So how's that going to go over? And especially like to date Mario Lopez's daughter, like how's that going to go over in the Lopez household? How are you going to handle that?
Well, fortunately, I'm a few years away. At least I think I am. And I haven't given it too much thought, to be honest with you. You know, I'm just going to... I think I raised her to be pretty open and honest with me. And
that's great.
I've always told her, as long as you tell me the truth and communicate with me, I'll always have your back.
Mm-hmm.
And she trusts me, and I think she is for the most part. And the guys will see when I eventually meet them how I'll handle the moment, but I think I'll be fine.
My daughter was mortified because we're a little old school. And we're like, he's got to come ask for permission and he's got to come in the house. He can't honk on, lay on the horn. He's got to like come in.
Honking at the, no.
Then I was like, that ain't going to fly. That is not going to fly. A big question that I get is the phones and the social media. How do you guys handle it in your house? Because I've heard a lot of celebrities say, I don't even have internet. So, but that's not really, I mean, that's not the norm. How do you guys handle it in your home?
Yeah, well, it's not very practical. You can't exclude them from the outside world. So my daughter, I believe she has a phone. My wife just got her one, but it can only call like, I think our family or certain people. There's just like a selective number of people. I don't know how she rigged it out. And then she's not on social media. I'm going to try to keep her off of that as much as I can, but I think it's inevitable. But she likes to do these little TikTok dances and stuff with me. So she'll check out mine every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
She's not, neither my son isn't either. He too has a phone. They have iPads. So there's, you know, a certain balance, but they're not really consumed by it too much.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. And I know your boys are involved in a lot of stuff too. I think it's important to keep kids involved and be physically active, whether that's sports. I know one of your kids plays piano too.
All of them do. They all play piano, they all sing, they all dance. My boys wrestle, jiu-jitsu. My daughter does gymnastics.
That's great.
Cheerleading, dances, the whole thing. So they're all very, very busy.
Well, you started dancing at a very young age. I know you're now an amateur boxer and you're like, what have you got, like a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, which you started a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But I know you started dancing at a very young age and your Boys and Girls Club, your local Boys and Girls Club, really became crucial in your life, whether that was learning how to tumble or wrestle. Like, what kind of refuge did you seek from your Boys and Girls Club? And the reason I'm talking about this is I'm a trustee of the Boys and Girls Club. I believe kids are our future. We got to invest in them. And I know that the Boys and Girls Club really was instrumental in your life growing up. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I didn't grow up in the most upscale neighborhood. I was a border town kid down in Chula Vista. And my parents were very blue-collar folks. My dad worked for the city and my mom, the phone company. And after school, those 3 hours before they got home, there was a lot of potential there to kind of get into some trouble. And obviously, they didn't want me hanging out in the streets to have a different influence. And my grandparents, when I would be able to stay there, I did. But then most of the time, I'd be at the boys club. It was a boys club when I was a kid, not just a Boys and Girls Club. And Chula Vista Boys Club. And through there, I found great mentors and friends and fell in love with wrestling. And I was there since I was like 5 to like 15 for a good 10 years. And I went every day, and it was the best, and it had a huge impact on my life. And I love what they're about and they promote. And I always try to give back as much as I can.
Yeah. How instrumental was that? One of the things that has moved me so well, as you, I've heard from so many Boys and Girls Club alum or Boys Club alum like you, that it truly did save their life. It was the safest place for a lot of these children. How crucial was it in your childhood? You said you attended your local club for what, 10 years?
At least, maybe a little bit longer, but it was crucial because I was a real hyper kid and there was a potential to kind of get into trouble if I didn't have a place to channel that energy. And so it allowed me to be to go there and have an outlet and to be in a safe space, much better than hanging out on the streets. So who knows? But I owe a lot to them. And I'm very appreciative of being a former member.
You said that's where you kind of fell in love with wrestling. I know you did tumbling and karate, but wrestling is where that's the Boys and Girls Club. That's where everything kind of began. You started wrestling at the age of 7. And like, you're a pretty prolific wrestler, Mario. You wrestled for your high school. I think at your peak, you finished your senior year 7th in the state of California. Hello?
Yeah, I didn't even practice that year because I was working and I didn't practice, but I just kind of did that. I wrestled like 2 weight classes above what I should have been and didn't practice. I still did pretty well. So, you know, I've always kind of liked to mix it up and do a bunch of different things, but I like the attributes that wrestling provides. Physical toughness, obviously, mental toughness, problem solving. You feel secure with yourself. You get a lot of confidence, independent. So that's why I want my boys to get out of it.
Yeah, I love seeing the videos of them wrestling too, especially your little guy. So fun.
Yeah, he's cool.
We're not quite to the listener question, but I just want to ask this one because it ties in so wonderfully to the topic we're talking about. Paul wants to know, and that's Paul, not Paula. Paul wants to know, how close were you to wrestling for the University of Iowa? Is that true?
That was a line from a show back in the day. But I did get opportunities for other colleges, but I just kept working. I was always working. I've been working since I was 10 years old. So, you know, I've been working a lot. And I feel very grateful to be able to have been working a lot.
Yeah. You recently turned 50. How is that even, like, how's that even possible? I'm close to it. I'm 48. Okay. So right there behind you. But like, do you think, like, is this when we're supposed to start thinking about like our legacy and what we want to be remembered for?
Well, hopefully I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. And, I'm just looking at it like the first 50, and we've got another
there
one.
There you go.
So we'll see. I mean, it beats the alternative. It kind of messed with me a little bit, but I'm okay with it now, and I lean into it. And you know, you learn to be a little bit more patient and not take certain things for granted.
How did it mess with you a little bit?
Because you start doing math, like, oh God, the average person only lives to like 76. I only got 25 more years. All this kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, I get that. I do start to
You'll
think
that. You'll see.
Oh, look, I'm right behind you. I've got just a little over a year.
Yeah,
ago,
I know.
So
you'll see.
I know, but you know, it's like the climb. It's like a roller coaster. It always the best part is the way down. Is right. It's and so I feel like that's kind of what the last part of our life is going to be like. Those last chapters, the
so.
Back half
analogy.
Of it. So, you know, yeah, it's all that climbing, all that climbing, and then we just get to enjoy it, right? Right. Okay, so one thing I really admire about you and being in the limelight and the spotlight is how publicly just effusive in praise you are of your wife, Courtney, who you've been married to since 2012. It's not the traditional like Hollywood marriage. You guys really just are obsessed with one another. You wrote her the sweetest post. Oh no, sorry. This is what she wrote to you. She said, 50 is finally here, baby. And I love you more than ever. You're the hottest man on the planet. And I'm the luckiest woman. She says, I'm going to start planning for your 100th birthday now. How do you protect your marriage, Mario? You guys clearly are crazy about one another. How do you protect it?
Well, I'm very, very blessed and lucky to have met her. And to have met her when I did. Because had I met her a lot sooner, I probably would have messed it up. But I think timing is more important than anything. I was a little older and we met doing a Broadway show. And we just sort of clicked from the beginning. The more time I spent with her and when she became my wife and she became the mother of my kids, you know, I fell in love with her more and more every phase. And as I get older, we just seem to get better. Not to be corny, but everything's great. And she's such a great mom. It makes me kind of fall in love with her all over again.
How do you guys prioritize time, just the two of you, that's something that's a big challenge for my husband and I, who I mentioned, we have three children and we have high school, middle school, elementary, and, you know, he works full time, I work full time. How do you guys prioritize just the two of you though, and really investing in that relationship?
Well, you make it a priority, and as busy as I am, and she's busy too, we carve out date nights, we do little quick getaways, and it really helps. So, you know, you can't stop dating your wife just because you got married.
Yeah, that's really important. And is it possible for you guys to have a conversation and go out to eat and not talk about the kids? Because that's really hard for us, my husband and I. I'm like, let's.
It's challenging, but it's okay. I don't mind talking about the kids because that's a product of love. And we... We have a lot going on with them, so it gives us a chance to catch up.
Two busy working parents. You both work outside of the home. You said you met her on Broadway. She's a dancer. She's gorgeous. She's often a co-host. And when you have two busy working parents that work outside of the home, how do you partner well? Because, look, I formed a company a couple of years ago called Carrie that advocates for working moms. So much of the mental load falls on mothers. We're working at home, we're working outside of the home, and we're just burned out. It's been a struggle for my husband and I, but I feel like we're kind of at a place after 23 years of marriage. We're in a really good place where we're really great partners. It's not just up to me to do the laundry and to cook. Like, we partner really, really well together. Is that something that you guys have been able to figure out? Are you still working it out?
Yeah, I think it's all about communication and a constant form of communication and give and take. And you have to be united, whether it comes to parenting or whether it comes to your approach on how you're going to still proceed in the relationship. So, you know, we try to navigate that well. And my wife's very smart. She's very patient with me. So, I'm really lucky.
That's awesome. So there's no, I know Cameron Diaz made some headlines, let's normalize spouses sleeping in separate rooms. That's not happening in the Lopez household. That's not happening in my household, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not necessarily a fan of that. Separate rooms will turn into separate houses at some point. Plus, you know, I like to cuddle.
I'm with you. My husband has a CPAP. I'm like, it's okay. That's just part of it. You know, that's one of the reasons he got a CPAP, was so that I could sleep better and he doesn't snore as much anymore. So, hey, we've all got it, but I like to be, and I'm also a physical toucher. That's one of my love languages. So not necessarily for me, but that's okay. We're going to close it out. You've been so gracious with your time. I know you've already had a full day. You've got more coming on the backside of this. So just a couple of questions and then we'll wind it down. We can do these as lightning questions. They're from viewers and listeners. All right, Mario. Okay. It. Chuck wants to know, how fun was the episode when Slater beat up Preppy and Zach and Slater fight? How fun was that episode?
That resurfaces every anniversary. I'm proud of that fight because I choreographed it. And I can't believe people still talk about it all the time. But it was pretty good for a couple high school kids.
I love it. Katie wants to know, what's the most life-giving thing that you do that makes you feel most yourself?
Life-giving?
Life-giving thing that you do that makes you feel most yourself or makes you come alive.
I mean, I like taking care of people, whether that's my friends, hooking them up with jobs, or introducing them to people that they eventually have a relationship with, or even just, I just bought my crew lunch right here. And yeah, I like taking care of people. I do a game show that's coming out called Blank Slate on GSN, and giving away people money is the best gig in the world. So, you know, I like to make sure everybody has a good time.
Is there something you personally do for yourself? I know you love jujitsu. Like, how life-giving has that become for you? You were like beaten up a couple of weeks ago, it looked like.
I was jujitsu, but I've gotten bumped and bruised on both. And it's very therapeutic for me, all of them. I need an outlet.
I feel like every guy in their 40s and 50s is doing jujitsu right now. I don't know what it is about it, but there's something that's got a magnetic pull. So Tara and Tracy, they want to know your favorite AC Slater episode. I mean, there's so many. Do you have one?
I don't know if I have a favorite. Anything we got to get out of the classroom was my favorite. When we were in Hawaii, we were in Vegas, we were in Palm Springs. Those are always my favorite.
Would you let your daughter date AC Slater? Like, is he the kind of guy you want your daughter to date, or eventually?
Character? yeah, he's a nice guy. Sure.
There you go. Tim, and this is the last question. Do you keep in touch with your castmates from Kids Incorporated? And this is speaking my language because I can't get the theme song out of my head. The Kids Incorporated theme song.
That was a lot of fun. One of the toughest gigs I've ever had, even as a kid. I see Stacey Ferguson, who's Fergie.
Yep.
And I keep in touch with Rasan Patterson. We're always on IG. Probably those two. I don't see too many of the others that much, but those two I do.
Mm. Why was it such a tough gig?
So I was doing 3 dances a week and I had to learn how to play drums for a bunch of, it was just a lot. We were doing 3 episodes a week.
That's awesome. Mario, this has just been awesome. Thanks for coming and talking about it. And just want to say you're a great dad. I appreciate dads like you that are really out there, hands-on. And thanks for talking about it.
You got it. Nice talking. You appreciate it.
Mario, as you heard, is a really busy guy and so grateful that he was able to take some time out of his day to really encourage our audience. And by the way, my kid's book, Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Up? All of my proceeds are going to the Boys and Girls Clubs of America in perpetuity. So if you want to support the book, you're supporting the Boys and Girls Club and people like Mario Lopez, who are a club kid. So thank you for your support. And also, if you have a chance to rate or review this show, that would mean the world. Keep these conversations going if you can share it with somebody. And if you want to keep tabs on everything that's happening and be eligible for fun giveaways and have access to really encouraging content, sign up for my personal newsletter. It goes out every 2 weeks at paulaferrisofficial.com. So next week, John's back. We'll be talking about whether or not we are going to change the name of the show to the Paula and John Show. Not happening. But you know, I gotta throw John a bone. He really is fighting for this name change. And so I've got to give him something, right? But John is going to be back. We're going to be talking about youth sports. And there's a little bit of tension in our relationship, our marriage about this, because we don't necessarily see eye to eye. So how far is too far when it comes to youth sports, the importance of youth sports and having your kids involved? But like, where do you draw the line? It's going to be a really great conversation. You're going to hear John and I, we're not totally aligned on it and how we're going to work through it. So that's next week as we talk about it on the show. And we'll see you then as we keep talking about it. See you guys. I know you guys thought you were done with me, but not quite yet. I have one more thing to tell you about. If you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, don't forget to subscribe to the show. I don't want you to miss a single beat or a single conversation. And remember, my DMs are always open. Tell me what you want to talk about.